And welcome in, everybody, to another fine edition. That's right. It's time. It's Wednesday, and you know what that means. And we are on lucky episode number 13, this one titled Throwback Thriller. And, of course, this is Racing Refresh Happy Hour. I'm your host, Loganity Morris, but I do not do this alone. Behind every decent individual is a better man. And I'm talking about the best man, of course, the senior open wheel guru himself, Colin Best. Come on in here, Colin, and to pay tribute to the family.
Wow.
How the hell are you?
I am doing good, beside the circumstances. We had a little rough day, but that won't hinder us down here on the happy hour as I got my little coffee right here. Big day for me. This was day one of Indianapolis 500 testing, so we have a lot to get to. Darlington, Indianapolis, a little bit of Formula One news. We have a big show today. We have only an hour to do it, so let's see if we cram it all in, baby. Let's go.
That's me. That is my philosophy at the dinner table, especially on buffet night. I got to tell you, let's see if we can grab it all in. They give you those real small plates and you got to
go back for more.
Yeah. They give you those real small plates. You try to see how much you can get on that whole deal. Unless you're one of those weird people that like the food can't touch. Are you kidding me? It can touch. I don't care.
That's where flavor combinations come out, my friend.
Amen to that, brother. And I'm sure that she's super entertained by all this talk. Let's talk to the woman that's gonna bring us in and rein us in and make us talk a little NASCAR. Talking about producer Peggy, my better half. God, buffets are good. Peggy, how are you?
I don't like my food to touch.
Ooh. See, but that's like, you know, you get a little cranberry sauce on your mac and cheese. The stuffing touches it a little bit.
Gets a little,
The gravy only gets... exception is cranberry on turkey.
What about mac and cheese on turkey?
Oh, yeah. By God, I'm hungry.
I'm getting there. Old lady's in the other room cooking dinner, so we got to get going. Yeah. We need a 5 hour.
All right. So she doesn't like her food touching. That's just, wait a minute, I've seen you eat. Like, what are you talking about? You don't really avoid that.
Like,
whole
if part. It touches, I'll still eat it, but I don't like it.
You eat it because you don't want to disappoint whoever's hosting.
All right. Well, with that, we got to talk some racing. And we'll have buffet reviews on the NASCAR off week here in a couple weeks on Father's Day weekend. Let's try that. So let's hit up a buffet or two, Colin, and we'll have some happy hour buffet reviews on the off week.
Baby, let's go.
This to our knowledge is the final week without Adam Carabine. I've been told by a good source, aka him, that he intends to be back next week. Believe it or not. He intends to be back. And
you're
so,
put off your responsibilities so long.
And when you got you and I driving the ship right into the iceberg, we're the poor fool that said, turn! Ryan Hill, how are you? Ryan, I want to know what your take is on buffets. Just because. Anywho, we got to talk some racing. So, Peggy, I'll see you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Hope you enjoy all the buffet talk. All right, now we got to get to our weekend review. Let's do it. All right, so we had a truck race. Christian X got it done. And look, Darlington's Darlington. She's a challenging lady in black, is she not, Colin? Is she not? She's challenging. She's old. She's worn out. She's all the things that we all know when it comes to Darlington, and that showed itself in full force, and it kicked off with the truck race. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, Christian Eck has pretty much dominated this entire race. There was really no one who was competing for him. It was everyone competing for second. My big thing is the start of the season, Nick Sanchez was kind of the guy who was just – he was fast, but he just couldn't get it done. But now he's sort of cooled off a little bit and turned into probably the rookie we expected him to be, running, you know, middle of the pack, top 10, top 15. Not really, you know, sniffing for a win yet, but I think Nick Sanchez, can, you know, as the summer months progress, he can get back on the snide. But, you know, Christian Eckes and his Tricon Garage team really pulled it off. It was great to see him win. But, you know, honestly, you look at the trucks when they race with the Cup and the Xfinity, and they put on a great show, don't get me wrong. But I got to tell you, Darlington just is one of these special tracks where the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series kind of outperformed the Truck Series this week. Not to say it was a bad race. It was a solid race, entertaining race, but it was just dominated by Christian Eckes. So there's really no competition up towards the front.
Well, I'll have you know that, that Darlington's my favorite track on the circuit. I love the track, Too Tough to Tame, the Lady in Black. And so when people kind of complain about, you know, how hot and slick and you can't pass and it's just I think all that character's wonderful. But, yeah, good for Christian Eckes. I mean, he dominated this thing. I agree with you 100% that Nick Sanchez is going to have his day. Keep in mind how young he is. I mean, he is his age is what you call tender, my friend. Tender. And I don't mean the dating app. And so to me, I think you're right. He's going to find things to build on, and I think his future is extremely bright in the Truck Series. He's going to be a major player at some point. It's all about putting it together. It's getting those reps, folks. You know how it is, experience. So the truck race may have left a little to be desired in terms of a, you know, a questionable finish, but the Xfinity race did not. There were shenanigans, to say the least, with Kyle Larson and John Hunter Nemechek, and they had some hard racing going in. I want your take on this finish, controversy. Just hard racing or a little bit of dirty moves? Because John Hunter ended up getting a top five the hard way. What are your thoughts?
Man, this was probably the fight between the two best cars all weekend in the Xfinity Series. It was very impressive to see Larson come from that speeding penalty. He was like maybe 30th place at 50 laps to go. Worked his way up through the field, got a couple cautions that helped him out. But at the end, it just seems like these Xfinity races at Darlington come down to the final lap the past couple of years, and it's been just a very exciting race to watch. I have no qualms with what John Hunter Nemechek and Kyle Larson did to each other. I think it was very hard racing. Larson didn't really give him any room going into three. Nemechek had the run, gave it back to him. Both went in the wall. Nemechek just tried to get a runoff four, and they collided and sent him into the inside wall. That was a classic Xfinity Series race at Darlington. Really wanted to show you who wanted it more. I don't think Nemechek would want anything back after that race. I think Larson may have, in his mind, gave him too much to work with going into three. Probably, you know, he didn't want to keep it that close, but, you know, good hard racing. I have no problem with it. It was probably the best Xfinity race of the year, and it was kind of a nice appetizer. It was a good palate cleanser off from the truck race, and then what we saw with the Cup race one day later, which we'll get to in a moment. But solid race. I give it four burning tires out of five. How about that? That's okay. That's okay.
Four burning tires out of five. All right. We just got Peter's next graphic. I agree with you. I don't have any issue with what took place. I don't. Hard racing's hard racing, folks. It is what it is. But what do you say to the people that do have an issue with it? You saw some people complaining about Larson in a big way. You know what if you were to talk to any of those I believe Mike Joy would call them keyboard warriors. What would you say about the people that were upset about Larson's move?
I try to understand where you're coming from. The thing is, we know Larson has rubbed people wrong and rubbed them close his entire career. I mean, he's a hard racer. I think he's fair. When he receives something, he'll give it out. I mean, I think we all learned in Chicago 2019 that Larson ran Kyle Busch up in the wall, and, you know, he fully expected Kyle Busch to give him something back in three, and look what happened. Kyle Busch took the win, and Larson finished second. To me, I think this is what made NASCAR great. This is what if you had to tune into a race and you were like, what is NASCAR all about? What is the close racing all about? This is exactly what it is. Compared to what we saw in IndyCar this weekend at that road course at the IMS at the Brickyard, this Xfinity race would be a classic compared to what we saw at the Brickyard. And if you were comparing the Xfinity race to a Formula One race, you would be like, it looks like the Xfinity series is racing a little bit better than the Formula One series is right now. And don't get me wrong, Formula One's completely different. That's more strategy and engineering and outsmarting the other guy. But what we saw on Saturday was just two guys going for the checkered flag. One is still racing for a championship with John Hunter Nemechek. Larson's just here for trophy chasing. But it was a damn good race. And if we saw more races like that in the Xfinity series, it would be just taking it to the top. It would be an amazing series to watch week in and week out. It's not there yet, but it's getting close. So for the people who are sad about it, I mean, if there wasn't a late caution, I'll use Kyle Busch quote from that same Chicago race. I mean, if there wasn't a caution, if you don't like that kind of racing, don't even watch. That's Mr. KFB for you, Kyle bleeping Busch.
If you don't like that kind of racing, don't even watch. Kyle bleeping Busch, call him best.
Thank you.
He's like Michael Scott, really. I mean, that's
you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Joey Gretzky. Michael Scott. So, anywho. Oh, we love a good offense reference. Look, I agree with you 100%. Look, it is what it is. If you don't like that, what are you watching for? Because I couldn't believe I got on Twitter and people are upset and they're getting all cattywampus about Larson and the move he made. Look, you're going for it. You are paid to win races. Now, don't get me wrong. You don't need to be excessively dirty. And we'll talk about a guy that's kind of maybe potentially crossing that line. We'll get to that. But you are paid to win races. You are paid to win races, and that's what you're there for. And that's just two guys going for it. And yeah, do you hate the John Hunter wreck? Sure. You know, you hate that he ended up, you know, I forget what his official finishing position was.
P4.
Like you hate that it goes a little too far and he wrecks. But look, that's the way it goes. Sometimes it's going to that's the way the cookie crumbles, as the great Bruce Almighty once said. Ryan Truex is not that guy. We'll talk. And so yeah, if you don't like it, man, what are you watching? This was great. This was good for the sport. This was good for the Xfinity series, because let's be honest, the Xfinity series and the truck series for that matter need more headlines. And so this was good, clean, and going for the win racing. Nothing wrong with it. All right. Let's talk about it. Stop me if you've heard it before. William Byron won. Stop me if you've heard that before. Kyle, I'm going to let you have your moment here, because, you know, we're not doing Racing Refresh picks this week because of the All-Star race. But you did pick the winner. William Byron found a way. And let's talk about that for a moment before we get to Truex. Is he the championship favorite right now?
No, I still think it's Larson based on pure speed. I think Larson's the fastest guy week in and week out. I think William Byron has been the most consistent so far all year. He's been running up front. I don't think he has a worse finish, worse than like 25th, but well, that's out of play track, so we'll just, you know, throw that out. But to be honest with you, he's been the most consistent. And to get to the playoffs, to make it deep into a championship run, I think during the regular season you have to be consistent in order to build enough playoff points. If you run top three every week, eventually one of those times you're going to get a win, especially if Larson and Chastain are ahead of you and you're in third place. Something's going to happen. But to me, I still think this championship is between Larson and Byron right now. Larson being the fastest, like I said, speed gets you so far. But if you're not consistent with that speed, you're looking at the third round exit at Martinsville or something like that. So to me, he's not my odds on pick. And, you know, Byron, he may fall off, but we are still going to Homestead, Miami later in the year. He's won there before. He's good. He's not bad. A lot of people that, and we know in our circles that like to call William Byron the human equivalent of mayonnaise. I mean, he's kind of boring. I like to think he's Times New Roman font as a person. He's just generic as they come. Shout out Enzo Amore for that insult. That was really good. You remember that, Logan, Monday Night Raw. Yeah, thank you. But I think he's truly coming into his own. He was a rookie of the year in the Cups, in the Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Cup Series. He blasted through the road to the Cup Series. He just powered through it like no one's ever seen before. And he's finally coming into his own as a Cup Series driver. If you are disappointed that William Byron is winning a lot of these races, you should expect it. You should expect him to win more races. He's actually pretty darn good. So I have no problems with William Byron. I don't think he lucks into wins. He certainly was up front at Darlington. When he won at Homestead, Miami, he was certainly up front. When it came to Las Vegas, when he won, it was certainly down the speed between him and Larson, but he prevailed at the end. So it's not, I don't think he's lucking into wins. He's not Alex Bowman, but he's certainly, I would say 50% luck, 50% skill gets him to victory circle every single week.
15% concentrated power and will. All right. 5% pleasure.
10%
pain. And it's 100% reason to remember the name. Anywho, look, I don't know if Byron does fall off. Right now he's head and shoulders above the field. I mean, he's head and shoulders above Hendrick when he's not the biggest face there. You know, you could make an argument. You know that Chase Elliott is a bigger name. You know that Kyle Larson is a bigger name. Alex Bowman might be a bigger name. But right now, Chase Elliott's struggling. Chase Elliott's in a bit of a lull coming back from the injury. Now, he did get a top three finish, and that is to be commended at Darlington. But all kidding aside, that was kind of right place, right time. You know, he was in a lull most of the race. You know, Chase Elliott is 25th in the point standings as we speak. William Byron, I mean, it's giving you vibes of the 24 because even the week he's not winning, he's in heavy contention to win. So maybe this is he's hitting that peak and hitting that you know that stride where all of a sudden he's the guy. We'll see. You know, too soon to say for sure. But if I had to pick a championship favorite today. And I don't have to, but I might as well. Right now, I think it is William Byron. I think it is William Byron because, again, he's been in contention. Even the races he doesn't win, he's in the ballpark. All right. So let's get to it. This one's for you, Ryan. Martin Truex. He was oddly aggressive this week at Darlington. A little out of character. Martin Truex is not an aggressive driver. Matter of fact, there's been a lot of contention over the fact that he's pretty public about a guy. He won't take a guy out. But not once but twice this week did he kind of throw her in there and send it, as they say. And what were your thoughts on that? Of course, he's a guy now with a win, so you can, you know, you're coming for more. Because a win, it's like a potato chip, Colin. How much do you need? The answer's more. All right, you don't just have one potato chip. Right, you don't even have 10 potato chips. You end up having a good 30 to 40 potato chips. Yeah. So, what's your take? Truex dominated the first stage. That should be noted. He looked like the car to beat first stage. He looked like the car to beat. And then it appeared he got a little over-aggressive. And then it got interesting. So, but what's your take on the uncharacteristically aggressiveness from Martin Truex Jr.? Is that just, you know, you're getting your confidence back because you got the win or what? What's your take?
It could be a little bit of the confidence, you know, getting a win. You know, he can still win in the Cup Series. I think he still proved that again at Dover. But I think, you know, he now has a win, and, you know, a win, singular win, I don't think is going to guarantee you into the playoffs this year. I really do think we'll get another 16-winner season again, which means that because there's no top 30 rule, anyone can win. In theory, Martin Truex Jr. can still miss the playoffs even with a win. He's not locked into the playoffs, and the only people who are the people who have multiple wins this year, a la Larson and Byron right now. So everyone else is kind of fighting still for a guaranteed playoff spot. And, you know, I don't blame him going as hard. I think he went for the win in stage two, at the end of stage two, and he spun. And then with, I think, 9 to go, he brought up the caution behind the field in order to win. I think, you know, when you look at the race, it was 4 guys who were in contention. It was Byron, Chastain, Larson, and Truex, who were probably the fastest 4 cars all weekend. And for him, I think it was – I don't think he ran out of talent, Ryan. I think he made a mistake. Everyone made a mistake – has made a mistake sometime in one way or another in the Cup Series. It was just hard racing, and I think he just went for it. Checkers are wreckers. He has a win, so it kind of gives him a safety net, but you want those playoff points to help you advance throughout the rest of the playoffs. I mean, look at William Byron. He has 16 playoff points right now. Kyle Larson has 12. Like, that will help out as the season progresses, especially in deeper rounds of the playoffs. So you need as many of those that you can get, and if you want to fight for a championship at Phoenix, I think you need double-digit playoff points. So I have no qualms. Again, I keep saying qualms. That's the word of the day. I have no problems with Martin Truex Jr. racing hard.
Look, I get where you're coming from, but I think if you do it once and it doesn't work out, that's kind of your one. That's kind of your one. On at stage two there, when he was going for it, I mean, let's be honest, his uncharacteristic behavior on Sunday took him out of contention for a win. He was the car. I don't know if anybody had anything for him in stage one. I mean, he was proverbially, of course, lapping the field. And so Ryan says he wrecked most of the field at the end of the race. He did. Ryan, what's your take on the situation with Truex? And Colin, what do you say to people like me that go, he did wreck most of the field, and that's not really an okay thing, and he ruined a lot of days, and you know, that's uncharacteristic. It is, and not a good thing. What did you take?
I mean, see, it's one of those things where you kind of don't want to screw up other people's day, and Darlington is one of those tracks where, especially in the corners, you can't really get away from people. I mean, the racing line is so narrow that if something happens,
ruined Ryan's day.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, Ryan. But look, everyone has done something like that. You can look at every single driver who's made a mistake and taken out the whole field. I mean, Kyle Busch did Martin Truex Jr. at New Hampshire a couple of years ago, like maybe 10 years ago. This is when Truex is still with the one team. This is like, I think, year one of the COT days, where he just wrecked him on the restart, took out pretty much like 10 cars in the field, and you know, it was just Kyle Busch racing to the front, you know. But this was when Kyle Busch was kind of a dick more so than he was like now. But like, this was 2008. This was, if my Taylor Swift fans, this was Kyle in his reputation era. But now he's in his like lover era. So, you know, wow. I think Adam needs to come back. We're getting Taylor Swift references on the Happy Hour show. Well, let's digress. So, but if you like, is Truex just hard racing, or is Chastain just being a menace? Because they were both hard racing at the end, and then they're both in their respective situations.
Look, I gotta say, that's a fair point from Ryan. If it was Chastain or Logano, that might be – there might be some build-up equity and goodwill that is making us kind of go, that's just – because, again, it is out of character for Truex.
But, see, so, that's not the thing people are going to be talking about. No one cares about what Truex did. No one's going to care about it at Charlotte during the 600, because they're all going to talk about what happened between Chastain and Larson. You can practically get away with murder in the NASCAR Xfinity Series as long as Chastain wrecks somebody. You can get away with it, because no one's going to be talking about you. Everyone's going to be talking about Chastain and what he's doing right now.
Sure, but I think I got to tell you, and look, I usually can't agree on with Ryan on how to spell cat if you spotted us the C and the A. But I got to think he's made a good point here in terms of if that was Chastain or less popular driver like Logano, I think there would be more outrage even with the Chastain shenanigans that we're about to get to. What say you to that? I think that's a fair point.
I mean, if it was someone like Chastain who's been a wrecking ball, it would be like, okay, there's another reason why we hate Chastain.
Was that another Miley Cyrus reference, or
they just keep flowing out of me? These pop culture things just keep flowing out of me, man. Look, but if it was Logano, we'd be like, okay, that's Logano. He's just a dick at the end of races. We've seen it before. He's just blown into the corners. And then he dive bombs people, slide jobs, and runs them out. Logano sometimes doesn't make intentions of making the corner. He just makes it. He did it to William Byron last year. He just completely wrecked him. He didn't give him a love tap. It wasn't a bumper run. He drove through Byron in order to get the win. But it's all optics. So Kyle Busch did the same thing. I mean, we'd be calling Kyle Busch a dick too. Denny Hamlin did the same thing. We'd be saying it too. But if Chase Elliott did it, NASCAR's most popular driver, people would be like, oh, well, I guess Chase Elliott had a reason. I guess he had a reason. But Martin Truex Jr. is somewhat popular. I mean, he was a champion. He was, you know, he's buddies with Dale Earnhardt Jr. and he has a Bass Pro Shops sponsorship, but he drives a damn Yoder. So I guess people hate him a little bit more. But I mean, it's all optics about who you are. And if Truex did it, I guarantee it was an accident. Guarantee it. But if Chastain did it, it's almost murder. It's almost murder.
Them daggum Yoders. All right, let's talk about a man not driving a Yoder. Let's talk more about Ross Chastain. So Ryan says that was payback. Let's not forget Byron slamming Logano on the wall 30 laps earlier. I don't know if he slammed him in the wall, Ryan. That's an unfair characteristic.
I gotta be honest. I'm a little bit hazy on some details of the Cup Series race because I'm unfortunately was doing some stuff. So I was listening to an MRN.
I had highlights,
but I was listening on MRN.
I don't know if he slammed him per se. I think you might be getting a little biased there. Anywho, let's talk about Chastain. Chastain watch continues every single week at this point. And so Chastain, Larson, they got into it and they tangled. It takes two to tango. Did you know that? Because it happened. Two to tango. It happened. Look, there aren't a whole lot of words you can say for what happened there. Ross Chastain kind of did what Ross Chastain does, and Kyle Larson said, we're going to handle that. And I think that's the way you should handle that. I don't necessarily need to go in fisticuffs, but at the right speed on the right corner, you know, I'm not opposed to a person saying, hey, here's how this is going to go. What were your thoughts on the Chastain Larson situation? And then we'll of course talk about Mr. H in just a moment.
Does everyone just forget that Larson's kind of a dick to people? Like Larson wrecked Chase Elliott at Auto Club last year. Took him out of the race. Just ran up like he wasn't even there. He did it to John Hunter Nemechek the day before. Kind of put him in the wall going into three. Put Nemechek at a bad spot. And then on the second to last restart, he did it to Chastain. Put Chastain in the wall a little bit. So, now the ball is in Chastain's court. If he wanted to rough up Larson a little bit, it's totally fair game. It's totally fair game. I think it was just fair, hard racing. And it's the bad rap because Chastain's been in a lot of stuff. But I happen to think Chastain is very good for the sport because he was on the Pat McAfee show a couple days ago. And now NASCAR drivers are never on the Pat McAfee show. It's getting attention. It was on SportsCenter that Sunday. Like, the last time I saw NASCAR on SportsCenter is when Ross Chastain was the top 10 play of the weekend. Because he did the wall ride at Martinsville. He's good for the sport. He's the bad guy. I'm not saying he's the intimidator, but he wears a black hat. I'm just saying. You can hate me all you want. I had no problems with what happened at the end of the Sunday's race at Darlington. I think NASCAR needs more of it. This is what, like, if we had a Netflix show, like a Drive to Survive happening right now, this would put NASCAR launching it to the moon, full of expectations, full of hype. People can get involved. This would bring NASCAR back to the early 2000s dominance. But no one's doing it, and it pissses me off because it's prime. We have the opportunity. You have the storylines every single week with this guy. And so far in Ross Chastain's career, outside the wall ride, this is the second biggest thing he's ever done with the end at Darlington. So I think it was just hard racing, in my opinion. I want to see more. I hope the wrecking ball of Ross Chastain continues on through the rest of the year. Watermelon Punch may be my championship pick. I may revise it. We're at the quarter season. He may be the guy. He's fast. If he just can contain that and control that speed, this guy would be multiple time winner so far this year. But, you know, some things just happen the way they do. But, Logan, I'm going to toss it over to you. I'm pro Ross. I assume you're anti Ross.
It's not the anti Ross. That's an unfair characterization. There's some things he does I'm fine with, and sometimes I think he gets blamed for things that are out of his control because of his quote unquote bad reputation. But there are also moments. Thanks, Bailey. How are you? There are also moments where you kind of bring it on yourself, and this is one of those cases where I think he brings it on himself. Is he good for the sport? Absolutely, he's good for the sport. There's no question about that. That's a fact. He is. But is he? When will he not be worth the drama? Keep in mind, he's got a grand total of 2 wins. You know, we talk Intimidator. Intimidator had a boatload of wins. Right now, Chastain isn't pulling that elusive part off. You know, it's one thing to get checkers or wreckers. Well, he's getting a lot more wreckers than he is checkers, if that makes sense. So, in my view, there are times where he crosses the line. Now, again, is there some unfair characterizations? Yes, 100%. Very fair. That's why thanks, Ross, is a thing. But there are times where, and I thought this week was another one of those cases where you kind of deserve it. To be kind of be taught a lesson, the old saying. I know Gregson gave it a shot and didn't quite pay off. But I thought Mr. H made good points. We'll get to those in a moment. But first, let's talk IndyCar. Alex Palou won in Indy at the road course. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so Christian Lundgaard, this was a Saturday. So this ran up right along the Xfinity Series race. I got to tell you, IndyCar Series has had 5 races so far before this one, and all 5 of them were absolute bangers. They were all-time classic races. Then we go to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Road Course, and we have our first dominating win of the year by a 16-second lead. That's the biggest margin of victory since it's been about 2 years since we've seen a margin of victory that big in the IndyCar Series. He led 56 of the 85 laps around the IMS Speedway, but that's not the big story we should be talking about. We should be talking about today was day one of Indianapolis 500 testing, where we had 2 people, Dixon and Palou, go over 229 miles an hour in practice on an average lap. Out of 34 cars, only one of them did not reach over 229 miles an hour. We have a very fast Indy 500 field. One of these guys is going to go home. Currently, the slowest car is the late entry of Able Motorsports with R.C. Anderson behind the wheel. If you don't remember that name, he was the guy who ran for Top Gun Racing, which I think is pretty fucking cool. Sorry. Pretty cool name of race team, Top Gun Racing. I'm sorry. If AJ is watching this, I'm so sorry. I cussed. But, you know, I get hyped. It's Indy 500 weekend or Indy 500 qualifying weekend this weekend. So big things coming out of Indianapolis. But man, if we have a field this fast, imagine how good the Indy 500 is going to be in 2 weeks' time. I'm very excited about this. We have rookie orientation practices on Thursday. Then we have our first qualifying practice on Friday. And then this Sunday is qualifying day and bump day for the Indianapolis 500. So we'll set the field in a couple of days, and we'll get ready for the greatest spectacle in motorsports next weekend at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Look, we can't wait for it. That greatest day in motorsports is coming in a hurry. But speaking of what's coming in a hurry, let's talk more about Ross Chastain with our happy hour headlines. All right, Mr. Best, I want your thoughts on, because now Chastain has he is angered one of the people that matter most in this sport, and that is Mr. H himself, Rick Hendrick, who was at the podium with Jeff Gordon after the win, and he was not impressed by any stretch of the imagination. He said a lot of things. You go ahead and run it down. What was your take on Mr. H's noteworthy press conference?
It was. I think probably one of the biggest things from the weekend, having Gordon and Rick Hendrick, two of the guys who the Chevrolet organization listens to when it comes to NASCAR, Gordon and Hendrick, and pretty much they're kind of firing warning shots over the bow to Trackhouse Racing, to Chevrolet, saying, "Hey, he's a manufacturer teammate of ours. Can you help us out and do something?" I think this is the only way they can kind of police Ross Chastain. No one's going to fight him. I don't think Kyle Larson's going to fight him. Gordon's certainly not going to do it. He's kind of too old. There's really no enforcer in the Chevrolet camp right now. There just isn't. There's no guy who can put Ross Chastain in check except Justin Marks, which it's kind of interesting that last week at Kansas, we have Ross Chastain as the bad boy and Justin Marks is like the no push policy is still in effect. And then we fast forward 1 week and we're like, hey, we kind of need to rein Ross Chastain in a little bit. We kind of need to have a talk. It's very interesting how the optics have flipped in the Trackhouse organization.
And I believe that is solely because Rick Hendrick comments.
Like if Rick Hendrick didn't say anything, let's say if it was towards another guy, not a Hendrick car, would we be having this conversation right now? That Rick Hendrick and Jeff Gordon, they'd be like, oh yeah, you know, Ross Chastain's an aggressive guy, but he doesn't affect our bottom line. He's not the one. We're not replacing cars because Ross Chastain wrecks him. That's another team. We don't care. But it's Rick Hendrick, and there's a lot of eyes on him, especially the next month, because he's spearheading the Garage 56 talk for Le Mans. We're about 24 days away from that. So Rick Hendrick has a lot on his plate right now, and Ross Chastain doesn't need to add to it. But this is going to be certainly an interesting situation as we're going short track racing this weekend, and we'll get to it later in the show. That's a teaser, so stick around for the end of the Racing Refresh happy hour. But, you know, tempers could easily start flaring this weekend as we're going to North Goldsboro.
Agreed, especially when you consider it's a race where you know, there's a, you know, and hey, we all want $1 million, as Bare Naked Ladies once sung about, if I had $1 million. So good song if you don't get the reference. Anywho, I agree with you that North Wilkesboro could be a place where we see some good old fashioned payback implemented, because what do you got to lose other than $1 million? If you don't have the car to win $1 million, then you don't have anything to lose. So we might see some good old fashioned short track shootout swinging. I'll tell you one guy in the field, back in the field now, that if he has an issue with Ross Chastain, wouldn't be afraid to put him in his place in a very blunt way, maybe even physical. Old Ryan Newman, if they have an issue here as Newman makes his cup return in a limited capacity, if they have an issue during one of his starts, good luck, Ross, because it's the grumpier version of you. It's the grumpier version of you, and he doesn't care. He doesn't care. So I that would be a guy but this is all because Rick Hendrick had extensive headlines and extensive thoughts at his presser with Jeff Gordon. There are only three guys in my view that could have got this reaction from Justin Marks: Rick Hendrick, Roger Penske, Joe Gibbs. Everybody else, sit down. I think that's the only three people in the sport that he would have batted an eye about. And one of them spoke up, because when those three men talk, people listen. And that's not to disrespect any of the other owners in the sport. It's just we all know those three teams carry a little extra weight in this sport. I mean, that's just the reality of it. And so I think when Rick Hendrick sits down and pretty much lambasts you at his presser in what should be a celebratory tone, let's be honest, you're driver one, win 296, march into 300. And not to say that wasn't touched on, but it definitely was a little different than you thought. Justin Mark says they're going to start working on it. How do you work on that? Because let's be honest here, Colin. Let's be honest. How do you work on that? Because do you want Ross Chastain to lose his natural aggressiveness and therefore would probably take him in contention out of wins? And that's not really a good thing. What's your take on that? How do you work on it?
Kyle Busch had to be sat down by Rick Hendrick to kind of give him a what's up. And you look at the elder statesmen of drivers now, you know, Kevin Harvick is still around. Kyle Busch is still around. Denny Hamlin. I guess you can throw Logano because he came into the Cup Series so long. So he came into the Cup Series so young. He's been here forever and ever and ever. There's no real guy who in the Cup Series garage who will probably sit you down and say, hey, man, look, I love you racing. I love the style of racing you do, but I think you're just too aggressive. And this will continue until maybe Ross Chastain himself gets punched in the face. But here's the thing. Who's going to do it? Because we saw Chase Elliott going, oh, someone needs to punch. Someone needs to get in his face. But no one else is doing it. And so far, Noah Gregson has been the only guy to step up so far to physically get in his face. And Ryan Newman, God bless him, but that Rick Ware car is not fast enough to do anything with Chastain unless Chastain does something while he's lapping him and, you know, he can make it difficult, but Chastain will eventually get around. I think, you know, this is a conversation we can have every week, but I'm starting to run out of names of who is going to police Ross Chastain. Look, you don't change for anybody. It comes to a relationship. Like, you're not, Logan, you're not going to change because of Peggy tells you to change. You're going to change because you want to change. You're going to make the choice. So Ross Chastain is going to have a come to Jesus meeting with himself, in my opinion.
Look, I agree with you. You don't change because anyone tells you to change. That's true. That's you do it because you decide you want to change. And so I agree with that. We'll see what happens. I don't know how you balance that. I got to change versus I got to stay aggressive to potentially win races. But we'll keep talking about it. Of course, we'll keep updating it. NASCAR teams are still negotiating the charter system. Colin, what's your take on where negotiations are right now?
I think the teams are going to ask for a lot, and NASCAR is not willing to give up anything for them. This is going to be a situation that develops, and it's going to play out towards the summer, and hopefully by the end of 2023 we have an answer. I know some TV contracts. We could go to Amazon for the NASCAR Summer Series, kind of like what TNT did back in the early 2000s. So there's a lot of interesting things that are going to happen, but hopefully good things that help grow the sport and not hurt it. Hopefully we can add more charter teams. Dale Jr. may come, and that would be great for the Cup Series to have him as a team owner and him at the table. So hopefully good things come from these negotiating deals right now.
Look, I got to agree with you 100%. It's important that this gets taken care of. I think it's going to be a long, hard negotiation struggle. I mean, frankly, it's probably going to be similar to what we're seeing with our country right now. Not to get political, but we all know there's a debt ceiling issue and they're negotiating, but I think you're going to see a lot of ebbs and flows, just like you're seeing in our political system right now. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better, but I think for the sake of the sport, people put pride and ego aside when things get close and we get it taken care of. Do you agree with that, Colin?
Oh, I absolutely agree. We've burned through, like, half through the script, and we're only 45 minutes in, man. We've been on fire today.
That's all right. Formula One race got canceled, but first let's talk more about the Indy 500. Anything else you want to update as we're now in that month of May getting closer and closer?
I kind of hit everything briefly. There's not a lot of time, so I mean, there's still storylines developing and playing out through the Indy 500, and we're going to have that for the next week or so as practice goes on, and we'll set the field. We'll briefly touch on Formula One for a little bit. There was a lot of rain in the Emilia Romagna, or whatever. I don't speak Italian. Let's just call it Imola, because that's what we here in America and the UK call it. A lot of rain in that area, so much so the Italian government has put out a special weather warning. Currently, paddocks at Imola are flooded right now. It is not a safe situation to be at. I know they canceled the Grand Prix. There's no timetable to reschedule. But for them, if there's no race this weekend, the next race, which is going to be the famed Monaco Grand Prix on Memorial Day here in the States. So, and it'll give teams a couple more time off. Certainly would help things going into Monaco, because that one's going to be a snoozer of a race because they can't pass there because the cars are too big. But that's a story for another day, because Formula E had like 155 overtakes at Monaco. And last year, Formula One race, there was only like 10 overtakes during the entire Grand Prix of Monaco. So, you know, it just goes to different series are better at one track than the other. So let's move on. We'll talk about Monaco next week.
No question. Looking forward to that. Ryan Newman returned to the Cup last week. He finished 28th. Overall, he said he thought it was a pretty decent day and he had fun. He said a seat issue made his ribs hurt. So hopefully he gets that fixed here for North Wilkesboro. Still no timetable on Alex Bowman's return. We did get one of the lesser headlines of the Rick Hendrick press conferences. He's hoping he's back in the car for the 600 at Charlotte. Now, will that be the case? We'll see. Is it concerning? I don't think so, Colin. I don't think it's concerning. I think you should be rather cautious with an injury. There's no need to, because it'd be real easy to re-aggravate something and then you're having trouble that lingers the whole year. What say you?
Yeah, so he had a concussion last year at the fall Texas race during the playoffs, and then he had a concussion from the Phoenix event earlier in March. So, you know, he's had two concussions in less than a year from racing. I say take as much time as he needs to get a healthy Alex Bowman. Certainly will be granted that provisional waiver. So I think for him to get healthy, I think Josh Berry has proven that he can get a Cup Series ride. I think that's what he really showed. He was in the 9. He was in the 48. Did a fantastic job. Did what was asked of him even more. And hopefully we see Josh Berry back in the Cup Series in 2024. That's a little, if you don't know the inside, if you don't know the rumors, you should go look those up, because those are very interesting rumors to hear about Josh Berry. But certainly for Bowman, let's get back healthy. And it was funny, Ryan Newman said that he had the speed to compete with Martin Truex Jr. at Darlington. I call cap. That is BS. He did not have the speed. I guarantee it. But he thought he did. So, you know, more power to him.
I'm not going to call cap on anything Ryan Newman says. I didn't mean I agree with it, but Ryan Newman's a different cat, so we're just going to let him be. No, I'm not concerned about Bowman. You might as well rather safe than sorry, the old saying. All right, now it's time. Guess what? It's All-Star Weekend, so now it's time for our weekend preview. Oh, yeah. All right, so NASCAR's back at North Wilkesboro. The track is ready to go. What a historic weekend we are in for. $1 million on the line, of course, in the Cup race. But first, the truck race is a points-paying race. What do you think, Colin? Truck race, any quick-fire picks? It's tough to do. I mean, for you and I, you know, most of what we've seen is, at least most of what I've seen, is video clips of North Wilkesboro. North Wilkesboro was a distant memory for a long time. How do you feel about it, a points-paying race in the truck series?
Yeah, without the pandemic, we've never been talking about this. This would be a pipe dream. We'd be talking about the All-Star race at Texas Motor Speedway, and we would still be miserable talking about that race. So for us, it's going to be a noon start, a midday start at North Wilkesboro. That racetrack looks like a cheese grater from the pictures I've seen up close from it. As we're speaking right now, there should be the Cars Tour actually going on. So Dale Jr. is actually in that race. I don't know where he finished. I don't know. I don't have Flow Racing, so I can't watch it. But I'll find out where he finished, but
it's too expensive. It's too expensive.
It is too expensive. And I got qualms. My former employer, Race America, how are you going to make me pay $50 a month for your subscription and then make me pay $150 for a race? I don't know. What am I paying you $50 for your archive? I don't care. No one cares about watching like the 2020 blah, blah, blah snowball derby. I don't care. I want to see what's now in the future. But we'll digress. But I will say that I'm very excited for North Wilkesboro to come back. We need more short tracks on the schedule. I hope this becomes a points race for the Cup Series in the future, and maybe all three series can come to the racetrack. But I'm going to take Christian Eckes goes back-to-back at the Xfinity for the Truck Series.
All right. So the Cup has the All-Star race. We'll talk about more about that in a moment. Andy Chara is in Elwood, Illinois for drag race in the Chicago area. I know because our founder, our buddy AJ Pilsman, sending me some fine social media content. No racing refresh picks this week for the All-Star race. Instead,
because I won and we don't want to get me on a win streak.
That's pretty much true. Adam and I definitely coordinated on that. So with that, we have some pit road picks to talk about. All righty. Oh, yeah. All right. So let's bring in producer Peggy here for her pit road picks as well. And let's keep them pretty quick because contrary to some belief, we are doing A-okay on time if we do. So first question, do any of the Ross Chastain feuds continue at the All-Star race? Peggy, I'm going to start with you. Does it happen again?
Yes.
Colin, coming to you, brother.
He doesn't make it past lap 50. Someone will take him out.
I agree with both of you. This is the time to do it. There's nothing on the line other than $1 million. And that's not to say that $1 million wouldn't be a great difference for some of those teams if they get lucky and were to win. It would. But there's no points other than $1 million. So this is the time to do it. I agree. All right. Who do you got winning the fan vote? Colin, I'll come to you first.
Corey LaJoy. I think he's probably the most popular out of all of these people. Ty Gibbs certainly won it. He thinks he's Jesus and all the fans hate him. But Corey LaJoy with that long flowing hair and that beautiful chiseled chin, I think he's going to get the fan vote and make all the fans very happy at North Wilkesboro.
What say you, producer Peggy? Who gets that fan vote?
I'll go Ty Gibbs.
Wow. She said he gets us.com. Anywho, I'm going to go Noah Gregson. I think they got a good little campaign going. And I think his popularity was probably upped a little bit with the shenanigans a few weeks ago with Chastain. Don't discount the loyalty of quote unquote petty voters. They got Eric Jones into the All-Star race before. So just something to keep in mind. I'm going to go Noah Gregson. All right.
I have an update on Dale Jr. He's in P16 with 25 laps to go.
Man, that cars tour race is stacked, loaded, full of talent.
I'm not surprised. It is, absolutely. Would love to be sitting right there right about now. All right, who do you think's got the best chance to race their way into the All-Star race? You know, there's a boatload of open cars. Just pick one of the gaggle. Who do you think has got the best chance to race their way in? Colin, I'll come to you first.
I'm going to go Ryan Preece. He's the short track ace when it comes to this. And, you know, if anyone's been on rough surfaces, especially in the northeast part of this country, it's Ryan Preece. If he's been on hot slick racetracks his whole career in the modifieds, I think that'll translate over to the Cup Series. I think he wins the All-Star Open.
Peggy, what say you?
Is Josh Berry an option?
He is.
Then him.
Okay. I'm going to fry up some bacon. I'll go Eric Almirola. I think that for some reason I got a hunch. I think he's going to do it. All right. Who finishes better in the open, Ty Gibbs for JGR or Josh Berry and Hendricks, both of the course from those higher tier teams? Peggy, I'll come to you first. Berry or Gibbs? Who finishes higher in the open?
Berry.
All right, Colin, I'll come to you. Gibbs versus Hendrick, who finishes higher in the open?
Barry has more short track experience, so I'm going to go Barry.
Well, I don't want to be a boring show, so I'm going to go Ty Gibbs. Why the hell not? All right. So finally, who wins the $1 million? I want to know. I want your pick. This is not one of those racing refresh picks to my knowledge, so I think we can pick whomever the hell we please without any fear of we can't pick them again. So with that, who's your pick to win $1 million Colin, I'm going to come to you first.
This man probably has the best paint scheme. This should be the traditional throwback week. If the All-Star race is – if New Wilkes-Barre is going to be on the schedule, it should be the throwback weekend and not Darlington. By that being said, Logan's going to be so happy. And that petty blue STP number 43 Chevy Camaro ZL1. I'm taking Erik Jones. That Jones boy takes home $1 million.
Why not? Amen to that. Oh, church. How about you, Peggy? Come on, don't disappoint me. Who are you going with?
I feel like Kyle Busch.
Oh, boy. We were going so well.
Yeah.
So you take the 43. You take Kyle Busch. Look, I'm going to do it too. I'm going to take the 43. Why not? I can't not pick the STP car. Look, that's just the way it goes. It's North Wilkesboro, STP, and a certain king of the sport dominated that track. And maybe some of that old voodoo can get rolling Sunday night. We shall see. All right. So that means, look, with every great show, a show's got to end.
So I got breaking news. Breaking news from Indy. Breaking news from Indy.
Breaking news.
Jeff Gordon and Kyle Larson will have a press conference live from IMS tomorrow. It's probably going to be unveiling a paint scheme for next year's Indianapolis 500. So that should be fun. We'll keep everyone updated. Follow my social at the Colin Best. You'll find out what Jeff Gordon and Kyle Larson say tomorrow at IMS. But yeah, that's some news. Did you know Kyle Busch said that Larson took a seat for the Indy 500?
Yeah, I saw that. That was
amazing. Yeah. Can't believe it.
So will you be writing an article on racingrefresh.com?
Okay. Wow, Peg. What's going on, Peg? Yeah. You think that we blasted you for the past 2 weeks about Chase Race a lot and you can do something like that?
Wow.
My fingers slipped.
Yeah, her finger slipped. It was over Chase Race a lot, and then boom, she said, "We'll be gone. Bye. See ya." Yeah, that article will be out later tomorrow. I got some. I'm going to do buy every 2 day recaps for the races. I'm getting a new job. I'm preparing for that as well. Mm-hmm. I want to shout out AJ Appeal for being a good reference. I put like 8 references on my thing. So if Logan was a reference too, I don't know if you got a call or not, but I put like 8 of them. The guy said 3. I put 8 just to make sure.
How much do you need? The answer is more. Again, it's like potato chips. All right. So with that, let's have some final words. It's closing time here on Race Me Refresh Happy Hour.
There you go. Thank you, Peg. You got the right.
Yeah. That's it. Peggy, final words, since you're in such a hurry to get the show over with.
Yeah, like something to do. It's like not we're doing a show or anything.
If Kyle Busch doesn't win, we all know who will. And that's all.
Criminy. Yeah. Colin, save me. Final words.
So, you know, this All-Star race is going to be sentimental. This is exactly, you know, we're bringing back the heritage of the sport. For the people who, like us, we never get to see racing at North Wilkesboro. But now we finally are. We can appreciate it. And, you know, in my heart, I say Corey LaJoy, if he wins, it'll probably be the most – fantastic one of his career, but I'm going to take that Jones boy. Appreciate all the throwback schemes, even Kevin Harvick's throwback scheme. It'll be great. And DW in the booth for Fox this weekend. If anyone needs to talk about North Wilkesboro, it's going to be him. But I'm very excited for this weekend of racing. And then, you know, next week, big show, Coke 600, Grand Prix of Monaco, Indianapolis 500. The greatest day in motorsports happens. It's like a holiday. It's like Christmas.
It happens
once a year. But we're like 13 seconds over. So, Logan, throw it off to you. Get us out of here, my friend.
Ah, look, 13 seconds was much better than Peggy thought we were going to do. That's all I'm going to say. So, with that, look, my message to you old schoolers, I understand that you've been very displeased at where the sport is going. You feel like you've been alienated by NASCAR. You finally got one. Tune in. Enjoy it. NASCAR is back at North Wilkesboro. It doesn't get much better. Again, I understand that you've had to go through a lot of changes in recent years. Some of them you're not too pleased with. You finally got one. You finally got one. So tune in. Let's have a good audience for the TV audience. I'm sure it's going to be a packed house at North Wilkesboro. And let's have some fun and enjoy it. And someone's going to win $1 million. Someone's going to win $1 million. If this is not the most interested you've been in the All-Star race in years, you need to check your engine, old school fans, and give that baby some gas. I saw the Chuck E. Cheese.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
Great.
How do we want to cater to kids? We'll scare them with a big mechanical mouse. Anywho, with that.
Oh, my God, it's pretty fast, man.
Old school fans, this one's for you. Old school is cool for these last 2 weeks. One more time in North Wilkesboro. Let's hope it's not the last time. So with that, thank you for watching. Hope you've enjoyed it. And thanks to Ryan for all the comments. We always appreciate it. Colin, thank you as always for powering through. Peggy, thank you for powering through. And with that, we'll see you next week as we get closer to the greatest day in motorsports. I'm out of here.